We're picking up for this morning in Siman Beis of Orach HaChaim. As we mentioned yesterday, we're going to be summarizing the relevant halachas that are here in the beginning of the Orach HaChaim. Siman Beis has a mass amount of things that are very important. The truth of the matter is not so well known necessarily not necessarily so popular, not necessarily so well known. The first of two sifim, Sif Aleph and Beis, of Siman Beis and Orach HaChaim speak about an area in halacha that's a little bit sensitive, and the truth of the matter is tricky, the area of what's known as a tzniyus, basically focused over here, tzniyus for men and not for women. The halachas of tzniyus for women are found elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch, but in terms of basic dress code for men, those are found in Siman Beis, Sif Aleph and Beis. The basic theme that's there, the way he's pointed out in the Mechaber and in the Mishabur, is as follows, but with one very, very important note before we go through some of the details. There is a tshuva in the Irgas Moshe by Ramosha Feinstein in the third chelik of Yoredeya, where Ramosha points out that if you look carefully through the halachas that are presented here, carefully through the wording of the Mishabura, carefully through the Gemaras and Masech, the Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, which are the source for all these halachas, you'll notice the following basic idea, and that is that the dinim that we're about to learn are not, to try to phrase this carefully, not absolute halachos, but rather these are things that are madregos, these are things that are milas that a person would have. If you recall yesterday, we learned the idea of Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Summit, of a Jew trying to be sensitive to the idea that we're always walking in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and says, points out Ramosha, that's basically the theme that's over here as well. The ideas that are brought down, I'm going to use the word halachos, but the halachos that are brought down over here in the Mechaber and in the Mishabura are things that we're trying to aspire to, trying to achieve and reach, not necessarily absolutely mandatory to be able to keep. And therefore, Ramosha points out, if you see somebody who's not keeping to the dinim that are presented over here in this particular siman, and in the Sifan, Ramosha points out that you are certainly not allowed to give the person tochacha. You shouldn't criticize someone who's not keeping to the exact standards that are here, because again, they're not absolutely binding halachos that apply across the board. These are madregos that a person would like to try to reach. The basic idea as presented, and again, I'm summarizing in a very, very general sense. If you're trying to follow inside, you're going to have to try to piece together where I'm coming from with these ideas, and I'm basing most of what I'm saying over here on the Mishabura, not so much on the words of the Shulchan Aruch. The basic rule in terms of the tznius for males, and again, this is not the focus of this morning, but I want to try to do it quickly. The basic idea is as follows, that the halacha sort of expects and anticipates that those are parts of a person's body which society has basically deemed the normal to be kept covered, that most people out there in the world don't walk around with exposed when they go out in the streets, those areas of the person's body are meant to be kept covered. So for example, the Mishabura points out that since it's relatively normal to wear short sleeves when you go outside, there's nothing wrong wearing a short sleeve shirt when a person goes outside. That's a normal standard of dress. Whereas for most people out there in the world, it's not necessarily considered normal to walk around the street in a tank top when you're walking in the street, when you're walking wherever it is. Again, the standards are not based on what you would do when you want to look respectable. That's certainly a different standard. But what's called normal when you're out there in the street? Most people out there are not wearing a tank top kind of a shirt. Halachically speaking, it's not so appropriate, again, when I can use the word usher, as we pointed out before, not so appropriate to be wearing a tank top when you're out in public. And again, public means you have to be sensitive to the environment that's there around you. When you're walking around, let's say, in the areas outside the dormitories, keeping in mind you're in a community with parents and children, etc., right? It's certain styles of dress perhaps are meant to be avoided when you're going to be there in public. But that's the basic rule that's meant to be applied. And again, since these things are not absolutely mandatory and obligatory, we're not going to be overly lengthy right now, but a person should use his seichel and use his head in terms of trying to think for himself, or the clothing that he's wearing, things that are going to be considered tsanua, etc. Shorts, obviously, is a kind of an issue over here. Lanius daiti, it's relatively normal for people out in the street today to wear shorts during the summer. I think if you walk around in Manhattan, most major areas, you'll see plenty of people that are wearing shorts. It's probably not us or Me'ikar Adin to wear shorts in public. But again, on the other hand, it certainly would be a sensitivity to the idea of Kedusha and Tara and the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom not to be wearing shorts in public. But like we mentioned before, these are things that are madregos and milas that a person wants to aspire to, not absolutely mandatory. And again, we'll leave that open for your, hopefully, seichel hayasher at some stage in the game to try to decide what exactly to do. Moving on over here. But the reason why I'm mentioning that is that there's a very, I guess we'll call it, very widespread misconception. There's no concept in halacha of dress codes for males, that those are things that are only left to the for the female society, female element of the world to deal with. And the truth of the matter is that that's not really accurate. That's not true. And again, a person should look through the dinim over here in the Mishnah Berurah to see what the Mishnah Berurah discusses is appropriate, not appropriate, and guide yourselves accordingly. All I gave you was the general outlook that's there, without getting into any of the particulars and any of the specifics. The next couple of halachas, there are things that are relatively easy to try to be mekayim and seem to be a little bit more obligatory. In Sif Gimel and Dalet, the Mechaber brings a certain seder of how a person should be putting on his shoes. Okay, now this ended up becoming it's based on Gemara's Masechet Shabbos, codified as a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and there actually are halachas governing how a person gets himself dressed in the morning. The halachas are speaking about shoes, but we're going to see in a moment they apply to a number of other things as well. The way the din is brought down over here is as follows: we give a certain degree of respect, of kavod, to the right side of a person's body. That's based on a number of factors. First and foremost, in the Torah, there are a number of halachas that govern mitzvahs done with the right part of the person. When a person is without going through all the details, look to the psukim in various parashas in the Torah, the right side has a certain preference when it comes to the Torah of a mitzvah, to other areas that are there. The right side has a certain preference when it comes to Kabbalistic in Yonim. The right is always associated with the side of Chesed and Rachamim, as opposed to the left, as it is always associated with the side of din and a little bit more of a stricter kind of stricter kind of an attribute of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Without getting into the political ramifications of right versus left, but let's put it like this: that the right is always right, is always correct. There's a reason why right and correct are synonymous, and because of that, the halacha places a certain kavod, a certain chashivas, on the right side of the person's body when he's getting dressed. The way the halacha is brought, that the right shoe goes on before the left shoe. Okay, very, very basic halacha. The left shoe is going to be tied, though, on the other hand, before the right shoe. And there's different reasons why that's true. One simple reason would be that when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, we know classically most people out there in the world are tying, doing the kshiras tefillin on their left arm. Therefore, we see a certain chashivas given to tying mitzvahs on the left. We tie the shoes on the left in deference to that idea. Now, with that in mind, like we said before, there's a couple of things that branch out a little bit beyond the straight halacha that's brought over here in the Shulchan Aruch. Once we see that theme, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, we give a preference to the right side and the other garments that we're wearing as well. In theory, a person would like to try to acclimate himself, to put his right sleeve on before his left, to insert his left leg into his right leg into his pants before his left. We try to give, in terms of getting dressed, the right side a little bit more of a cover. Kabbalistically, if a person is trying to figure out why is that so important, the basic theme is meant to be that we're trying to be ma'orah, we're trying to inspire from up in Shemaim, like we mentioned before, that the side of Rachamim, the side of Chesed, should take preference over the sides of Din, and that's something that we would like to do. We all need a little bit of mercy. Is a question floating around there? Yeah. What if you're a lefty? You get to them just to 5 to 10 seconds. I don't know, it's a lie, a couple of seconds, you get to a lefty. Now, the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes of your halacha is that we actually are relatively makbid about that idea of the right side going before the left. In other words, what the Mishnah Berurah points out is if accidentally a person picked up his left shoe to put on or his left sock to put on before the right, the person actually is meant to put that down, pick up the right one, and put the right side on first. We try to make sure that's actually what's done. Now, when it comes to a lefty over here, we actually have a little bit of a machlokas. Mishnah Berurah paskins, this is probably the safe way to do things. Mishnah Berurah paskins that if the person happens to be a lefty, he would tie, meaning to say the ramification of that, in case we don't follow all the ideas quickly, the ramification of that is that person's putting his tefillin on his right arm and he's tying the tefillin on the right arm. Mishnah Berurah paskins that the lefty would tie his right shoe first as well, put the right shoe on and tie it, and then put the left shoe on afterwards and tie that. There are posts who argue with that, but it is certainly safe to follow the psak of the Mishnah Berurah in terms of the lefty, how he's going to go on and put his shoes and tie the shoes on. But my Rebbe Rafael told us once a story, just to leave this for food for thought over here. He mentioned to us that he was once sitting in the company of two of his close chaverim, two other people who recognized the Gedolei Ador. I'll leave the names out for right now. I'm not sure if all the names were interested in being publicized. And when we speak about friends, just the Feivel's friends were of Shlomo Zalman Orbach when he was alive. Rav Eliyashiv is a close friend. These are friends that are big names that are up there in the world. And they were sitting around together once and discussing the time-honored question many of us probably had thought of. If you could wake up in the morning and do one thing wrong in Halacha, one thing wrong in the Torah, what would your Aveira for the day be? You had a freebie. God's not going to hold you accountable, nothing doing. What would it be? Right? So Rav Feivel mentioned, you know, one of the people that was involved that said, if I could do anything I want, I would put on my left shoe before my right. That's what I would do. So as Rav Feivel pointed out, making us feel small, and he mentioned this on himself as well, that is certainly not most of our type. That's not necessarily our big aveira that's going to be out there, but apparently, as Chazal say, kol gadol mechaveiro yitzro gadol imenu, we all have a different yitzhahara for different things, and let's put our right shoes on, though, before they left, and we'll tie them as well. There is a shaila in the halacha, I'm just mentioning it very, very quick, and then we're going to move on, because we have a lot more that we want to try to do today. What happens when we're not tying our shoes, per se? There are kinds of sneakers, let's say, today, that have a Velcro kind of thing, things on them. Is a person meant to davka Velcro up his left side beforehand? Believe it or not, a discussion amongst the post can do whatever he wants. I'm not sure it makes that much of a difference, and that's, you're safe to do whatever it is over, you're safe to do whatever it is over there. The next area in halacha, I do want to spend a little bit more time, after we rush through these things, it's found in a sif vav of sif of Simin Abbeiz over here. And there are plenty of halachas that we should try to learn. But the Mechaber brings down a halacha called Lo Yelech Arba Amos Begilui Harosh Mivnei Kavod Ashrina. The Mechaber brings down a din based on a sugya in the first parak of Kiddushin of not walking four amos Begilui Rosh with their head uncovered as a sign of covered for the Shrina. Yeah. Okay, that's a very fair question. The state of taking your shoes off over here would be the almost exact opposite. You're free to take off the left shoe first. In other words, not just untie, but untie, remove. And like that is fine to do. We, again, give a cover to the right and want your right foot to be a little bit warmer and more comfortable for the extra 5 seconds or longer. So we take off the left side first and then the right. And the same thing would be true for any of the clothing that the person would be moving as well. Yeah. No, that doesn't make a difference. The idea is that they have the right to tie the right shoe to tie the right shoe first. Yeah.
No, like, so when you're taking off your shoes, you untie your right shoe first, then untie your left shoe.
When you're taking off, you would untie the left first.
Untie the left, take it off.
Yeah. Okay. Now, again, in terms of the denim of wearing a yarmulke on our heads, and a couple of things that apply to that. As we noted a second ago, the lashon, the way the Mechaber brings this halacha is a person should not be walking, should not be moving, dalet amos, with his head uncovered. The truth is there are two sources in Shulchan Aruch that discuss the idea of a yarmulke, and one of them is what we just mentioned now. That's where the Gemara in Kiddushin points out the idea, as is noted over here, covered for the Shechina, a person should feel a certain sense of awe again in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the connection why the halachas of a yarmulke are spoken about in this siman. We mentioned before this whole siman about dress and how we're getting our clothes on is based on the idea of the sense of and sensitivity to the presence of Hashem wherever we are, and that expresses itself in a certain sense of solemnness on our heads. We know there's something, so to speak, above our heads. We put a yarmulke, the Yiddish expression, a yarmulke, again, is a compound word from the word yare, to have fear for the malka, for the king that's there, a yarmulke. And that's, we should be aware why the thing is called that, because that's what we're trying to feel when we put the thing in our heads. There's another halacha, which is not really going to be discussed right now, about keeping our heads covered when we're making a bracha, when we're davening, when we're learning, etc. And that's a slightly different issue. Over here, though, the halacha now tells us like this. Again, we mentioned, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the basic rule is, in terms of keeping your head covered, a person should not be walking dalet amos or more with his head uncovered. The Mishnah Berurah points out a couple of things in reference to that halacha. First of all, he notes, okay, very important because it contradicts something we mentioned a little bit yesterday. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah points out it doesn't make a difference if you're inside or outside. As opposed to yesterday where we were speaking about certain halachas of the tumma on your hands, and we said as long as you're under one roof, doesn't make a difference if you're walking more than Dalaramos, the whole house is called the big Dalaramos. Over here where the issue basically is, the sensitivity to the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't matter if you're in a roof, you're in a house, the bottom line is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, you shouldn't be walking around with your head uncovered, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah points out it does not make a difference if you're inside. The head still has to be covered. Years and years and years ago, and when I was visiting Baltimore, I used to go there for the summers, so it's pointed out to me, I don't know if this is really true or not, but maybe I'm gullible, I believe this idea, but there is one of there's a synagogue that belongs to the conservative movement. I'm not sure if it's still there today. We'll have to ask the Baltimoreans if that's the case, that was shaped like a big dome. It had curtains around the outside of the shul, and it was called, at least they told me it was called the Yarmulke Shul, and the idea was that since it's shaped like a dome, when you walk in that building, you don't have to bother putting a yarmulke on your head. Not sure if you wore a yarmulke outside either, if you went to that shul, but they held that you were a scot-free when you walked in the building. That is very clearly not the case, as in many other mistakes that our conservative brethren are unfortunately still making, but that was a cute application, or an inappropriate application, of something that was, I guess, attempting to be a little bit talachi. It doesn't make a difference, inside, outside, head has to be covered. Mishnah Berurah points out a little bit more, though. He says that according to what we call the Midas Chassidus, that's a certainly much more appropriate thing to be makpid, to be keeping the head covered, even if we're moving less than Dalaramas, even if we're sitting stationary. As the Mishnah Berurah points out, even if a person is laying in bed, it is considered appropriate as an expression of your Yiras Shamayim to make sure that the head is always going to be kept covered. Again, like we said, even if you're sleeping. And that's why many people try to have a little bit of a larger size yarmulke to wear on their heads when they're going to sleep, to try to make sure it doesn't fall off at night, etc. But again, at very least, a person when he goes to sleep should not be taking his yarmulke off, putting it on his nightstand, and going to sleep. At least put it somewhere on your head. If it falls off, it falls off. But you should be trying, at least when laying down at night, to be wearing a yarmulke there on your head. Now, that brings us into a very, very major discussion in halacha about the halachas of a kippah, a yarmulke. The Mishnah Berurah quotes over here an opinion of the Taz. Okay? The Taz argues as follows. Whereas, and please try to follow this because I don't want to be making a mistake right now. Whereas, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to what was quoted earlier, wearing a yarmulke when you're walking Dalet Amos, when you're sitting still, etc., is only a midas chassidus. It's a pious thing to do. It's inappropriate to have your head uncovered. The Taz says that today, and again, the Taz of today was already from the 1700s, the Taz writes that today, okay, bizman hazeh, it is an iser d'oraisa for a person to be walking around with his head uncovered. Why is that the case? The Taz argues as follows, that since wearing a yarmulke became a very popular sign of your Jewishness, a Jewish person is distinguished by the yarmulke that's on his head. Everyone knows that's what Jews do. Jews wear a kippah on their head. Says the Taz, wearing a yarmulke or not wearing a yarmulke has become a violation of an issur called b'chukoseyim lo se lechu, not to follow the standards of the non-Jewish community. And everyone knows that goyim don't cover their heads, and Jews do. Memela, the Taz argues, like the way society has seemed to work itself out today, the way the culture is, for a Jew to not be wearing a yarmulke on his head is a violation of an iser d'oraisa, and the Mishnah Berurah over here paskins like that sheet of the Taz. Why is that important? It's important for the following issue. Moshe Feinstein was asked a shayla about 38 or so years ago. That the tshuva, if you want to look it up, is found in Orach Chaim Siman Dalet Sif Beis in the Igros Moshe. But Moshe was asked a shayla, which used to be a very common shayla. A person's going for a job interview, right? They're going to an interview wherever it might be, in a non-Jewish firm, someplace that the environment is not as yeshivish as you might be used to, and the person's a little bit concerned that if he's going to be wearing a yarmulke on his head, very clearly marked as a Jew, labeled as a Yid, that the person might not get the job. He might be losing his chance to secure a parnasa, or on the flip side, the person had a job but was a threat to be fired if he was wearing the yarmulkes on his head. The company did not particularly want the person to look so distinctly ethnic there on its premises. Is the person allowed to take off his yarmulke for the tzorach of maintaining a job or gaining a job if he's unemployed and needs to interview for a place and is legitimately fearful that he's not going to be able to secure the job? And Moshe points out as follows, okay? Classically, the rule is How much money is a person meant, is a person obligated to lose for the sake of a mitzvah? So there is a halacha, if you're trying to be mekayim a mitzvah in the Torah, you want to buy a lulav, you want to buy a pair of tefillin, a person's obligated to spend up until a fifth of his money, okay? But nevertheless, the halacha is clear, that if a person needs to, is being forced to violate the lo sase, to violate an isser in the Torah, a person is obligated to spend every last penny that they have, to try to bribe whoever it's going to be, that they shouldn't have to violate that issur. And as Ramosha points out, right, an application of that halacha would be that if a person is faced with this situation, it's my job or my yarmulke, right? I'm going to get fired, I'm out, and push it, not going to have any source of parnasa. And the person knows if he doesn't wear the yarmulke, he's going to be able to keep the job. Well, Ramosha argues like this. According to the Taz, that wearing a yarmulke, not wearing a yarmulke, is an isser d'oraisa. A person has to lose his job, has to mamish, lose every dime that he has, every penny that he has, in order to make sure that he doesn't violate an isser. Says Ramosha, according to the Taz, a person, ain't a chanami, would not have a right to be able to take the yarmulke off for the interview or while he's at work. On the other hand, right, the way the halacha was brought originally in Shulchan Aruch, that wearing a yarmulke was just a midas chasidus and not more than that. Ramosha argues you don't have to lose your job just to be mekayim a midas chasidus, to be a pious person. You're not obligated to lose all your money for that. That wouldn't be the case. So what do we do halacha l'maisa? So Ramosha gave a very, very important psak. That despite the fact that the Mishnah Berurah says the halacha is like the Taz, Ramosha says when a person's parnasa is at stake, a person has a right to be makel like the classic basic root of the halacha and not to take a loss, not lose his job, and is allowed to remove his yarmulke. Rav Moshe Paskins there in the tshuva in order for the sake of securing the job, for maintaining his job if necessary. Now, way back in the day when your parents were growing up, this psak was something that was very, very widespread and definitely used very, very often. Like, people were interviewing and people were working, that the environment was such that it wasn't so smiled upon to have people looking overtly Jewish and externally Jewish in various offices. The truth of the matter is that today, with the graces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the current climate in America is not so much like that anymore. It is fairly safe. It's not 100% guaranteed, but a person certainly can be pretty, pretty comfortable walking into an interview wearing a yarmulke. It's technically speaking, they're not really allowed not to give you the job if that's the only reason. You can sue a company if you weren't accepted, or certainly if you were fired for wearing a yarmulke on premises. And a person has to definitely think many, many, many times before he's going to be removing his yarmulke, going for an interview or at work, whether or not he actually has to do that. My father-in-law, for example, some of you met him last year, who's a very, very high-placed executive in a major firm in the States. And we'll leave our discussions about him for a different time. When he had first gotten his job back in the day, so wearing a yarmulke was not a great thing to be able to do. And he started at that stage in the game not wearing a yarmulke to work. That was the psak he was given when he asked the shayla. And today it happens to be he's, like I said, very, very big up there in the world, despite the fact that he gives a daf yomi in the office, etc. like that. But he, you know, puts his yarmulke on when they're in the daf yomi room. Everyone knows he's Jewish, but it's a little bit difficult to change halfway through down the line and start wearing the yarmulke over again, especially when you're a world figure and all that. But he very clearly tells people that are coming to interview in his company, oh, you should wear a yarmulke for the job, etc., wear a yarmulke to the interview, etc. And that is certainly something that has been proven over and over again today that a person will be able to do very comfortably. Yeah. So again, so if we're talking about you're losing business like that, and there's no real way to know how many people didn't walk into your store or not because you're the Jew, who didn't buy whatever you were selling because you're wearing a yarmulke. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make that much of a difference at that stage in the game, because you're not really losing something significant enough, right, to make a difference. The shayla over here was a very, very, the truth of that is very, very clear kind of a thing. You get a feel for the company that you're interviewing with. And again, this is not necessarily job training right now. We can do that at a different time. But one of the things you're supposed to do before you go to an interview is you do your homework about the company that you're going to. How many Jews actually work there? Do people wear yarmulkes? Do they not? You try and get a feel for the people that are involved. And you have to make a judgment call based on that. And at times coming out of school, you have a number of different interviews lined up, and the truth of the matter is you want to try for yourself as a Ben Torah to try to get a feel which companies are a little bit more open to having from people in them, which are a little bit more comfortable to be in, which are not. And it might be a nice idea to try to gear yourself in the direct yourself to the place that is a little bit more comfortable for the person to be openly from in that work environment. It's a little bit late. We're going to finish up with the halachas of the Yarmulke Mi'ez Hashem tomorrow morning. Have a great day.